Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Interesting Super Bowl matchup, because who are you rooting for in this one? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray.
Hey, that's not fair.
Listen, I know who you're rooting for. America knows who that you're rooting for, the Eagles, because you're from Philadelphia. But to be honest, like, you know, Proff, Philly, it's kind of an acquired taste.
Yeah. No, I'm not gonna pretend that Philadelphia Eagles fan base, particularly the Eagles, are unlikable because they're obnoxious.
Totally. At least you can self-scout. Yeah. And you understand that, like, not all of America is really going to get behind Philadelphia, but that would leave the Kansas City Chiefs. And because of their dominance, because of their stardom, because of a lot of reasons, they're not all that likable either. There's no underdog quality. Like, all the things that we love to watch and root for as, like, a society don't exist in this game. Now, I guess you could say you root for excellence and dominance and all that.
What about that? What about outstanding play? See, that's where I'm a little confused. Maybe it's because the Chiefs aren't a high-octane offense anymore, but don't we root for great athleticism and achievement on the field? Like, I thought we rooted for that.
I think we do, but what kills the Chiefs there, fair or unfair, is it feels like too many that they get an assist from the refs.
So it's, but wait, I'm hearing different things. So is it the refs? Is it the success? Like, is it just, what if the refs didn't give them these calls, would they be likable? Is it the fact that they're not underdogs? I kind of getting it, like, is it any team that wins, or are we going to find a reason not to like them?
I think there have been, air quotes, likable dynasties.
So the Chiefs, could the Chiefs do something to make themselves more likable?
I think they will be way respected if they win this game and do complete the three-peat. Then it's like, you have to tip your cap. To be fair, we should be tipping the cap anyway. I mean, it would be four Super Bowls for Mahomes and Reed. Yeah. And you really sound like a hater if you're not going to say, wow, like, this is quite an achievement. But I think that there's two things. The idea that they get, like, some legit home cooking, and whether that's, you know, fully true or fully not true, that's become the story. That they've gotten helped out because of the referees, and I don't think people like that. And then on the second hand, I don't think people believe that they've really overcome tons of adversity. And
but that should not necessarily be a requirement for liking a team.
I'm just saying that there's a front runner aspect of them that I think has become more evident now.
Which is funny, because they don't have high picks compared to most teams.
Well, they can't, because they're so...
Right, but I mean, Chris Jones is a later round pick. Yeah. Travis Kelce, later round pick. They definitely, like, they don't have traditional, like, number one picks all over the field. Mahomes was, I know he was a top 10 pick, but he certainly wasn't, like, Andrew Luck. He wasn't a sure thing.
No, he definitely wasn't. Yeah. But I think there's this idea that they came in, they were basically successful right away. Mahomes' first season as a full-time starter, they go to the AFC Championship game. I mean, they lose to Tom Brady on a D-Ford offense, offsides. The next year, they're in the Super Bowl and winning it. So I think there's this idea that maybe they're a little front-runnery.
That's not what front-runnery means, is it? Front-runnery, I thought, meant, like, you're a front-runner, like, you only like a team when... Or, you like me, I'm a front-runner, because I only pick teams that are about to win NBA championships to root for. That's front-runner. What does front-runner mean, that they are instantly... It's a little bit different meaning of the word, just because they were instantly successful. Yeah. Like, that's not something to ding someone for, normally.
I think it helps. I think it doesn't help. I think it feeds.
But
into
I mean,
that.
Reed did build this team the right way. He got to KC and he built it with Alex Smith, and then they had, you know, Mahomes had to sit there for a year. It was kind of somewhat patience to it. It wasn't like boom, Patrick Mahomes arrives in town and they're in the Super Bowl. It took 2 years.
Well, I mean
that's how the NFL works now, this rookie salary cap.
That's pretty close. I think Reed is maybe the most likable out of all of them, because he was in Philadelphia. They kept getting to the championship game, home games, losing them, gets to the Super Bowl, loses to the Patriots, and then now finds himself in Kansas City in this unbelievable situation, I think people are a little bit more happy for Andy Reid.
But why wouldn't they be happy for Patrick Mahomes? What's not likable about him?
It's not that they're not happy for him. I think it's the fact that they've only known success. You know, it's like, it's not like Michael Jordan had to get through the Celtics and get through the bad boy Pistons. It's not like the Warriors who, you know, had to toil and switch coaches and finally find their footing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Like, they went through more adversity than I think Patrick Mahomes has. And I think that feeds into it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I think that's part of it.
I find that to be somewhat of a stretch on its own. And also, too, Mahomes definitely has the adversity back. All great quarterbacks have an adversity backstory. Mahomes is way, I mean, he was a three-star. I mean, he was way much of a less of a big deal than some of these other guys. Like the number one, you know, the surefire, like you look around, like Trevor Lawrence is the ultimate. Trevor Lawrence in ninth grade was tabbed as a generational NFL quarterback. Patrick Mahomes was not that story. I know his dad was a pro baseball player. He was a generational baseball prospect. He was kind of came out of nowhere in football. White House, Texas, not recruited by big schools, went to Texas Tech, lost games, and then he was his gem in the draft that no one even knew was going to go that high. And apparently Sean Payton and Andy Reid have been salivating over him for months, and no one even had it. When number 10, everyone was like, whoa, didn't see that coming, because he wasn't great in college.
Yeah, and people thought he was a system guy, right? And it was just
air raid.
Big arm, and because of the air raid. I remember I was there and interviewing Mahomes before, and no one could really understand why the traits, you know, we always talk about traits in the draft, and why wouldn't his traits be one that would translate? He's got the different arm angles. He's clearly athletic. He's got the genetics, all that stuff.
It's really rare for a quarterback who doesn't win in college to get drafted that high. It was strange at the time, because, and a lot of that has to do with the Cliff Kingsbury. He was great at offense and didn't have everything around. He definitely does not have the normal trajectory of a top 10 pick, in my opinion. Also, like, what is a Patrick Mahomes? It's like, yeah, I know he sounds like Kermit the Frog, but he certainly is not, like, he didn't come in the league and be like brash, if anything. He sort of like comes off as a likable superstar.
I don't think it has anything to do with his personality. I really don't. Even the voice, I think it helps him, by the way. I think it really cuts through the crowd noise. We say, it's like Kermit the Frog, and he'll say that. But to be fair, I think it's worked in his favor because it's so unique that I think his teammates can hear him particularly well. So maybe he even gets an advantage that way. But
and it's somewhat harmless. We make fun of it. It's kind of a funny thing to joke about with nobody as a victim.
Yeah, it's silly. But as far as, you know, reasons why the Chiefs may not be as likable as they were, I think one part is maybe it feels like Mahomes kind of got it all right away. And, you know, you talk about the adversity. He was a three-star.
Yeah.
Like, all right. He's still a Division I college scholarship playing in the Big 12 and then became a first-round pick. Like, it's not exactly the Tom Brady story. And even Tom played at a huge college.
Tom Brady, way bigger deal in college than Patrick Mahomes.
But, okay, so it's not the Cam Ward story where he's starting an Incarnate Word or something like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's definitely, like, it's definitely not the easy trajectory. Patrick Mahomes had a lot of work to do to get where he was. I mean, listen, Josh Allen went to JUCO, so did Aaron Rodgers. But I definitely think, like, he's not like, oh, gosh, he's been groomed to be a NFL quarterback from day one. Honestly, he really should have been a baseball player. I'll bet you he would have been amazing. He would probably be a quality middle reliever in the World Series.
Just like Pat Mahomes, 855-212-4227. Big Dave is our pal in Kentucky. Dave, you want to shed some light on why the Chiefs may not be so likable right now?
May not be so likable is probably the biggest understatement in the history of professional sports. There's a multitude of reasons, and I'll tell you, I don't think you guys have brought this up. I'll tell you where it turned for me. Remember the post-game handshake between Mahomes and Josh Allen back in 23?
Oh, we talked about it last hour, Dave. It was a sore loser moment from Mahomes, but to be fair, he hasn't had many of those, but it was noticeable.
No, but I'll tell you where it turned for most folks. Listen, it's not really a Taylor Swift thing, but the fact that the networks and the league, I mean, every time something happened on the field, you know, the camera went to Taylor Swift, everybody, you know, I mean, people of that level are thought of as elitist anyway. Folks tune into football games to get away from the reality of life. They don't want to be you have that rubbed in their face all the time. The fact that I'm not saying that the games are rigged, but that's just like the fourth down spot the other day. That was egregious. Would y'all agree that that was egregious? I mean, there was a full yard differential between the two officials from where they were walking up from the spot. I mean, the official on the right was clearly, he had it across the yard, the line to gain by at least a half a yard. And then the official on the left, when he walks up, he had it a half a yard short. How could it be? I mean, that's the thing. And then they're on every, you can't turn a TV on without being Mahomes and Andy Reid's an insurance commercial. And it just goes on and on and on and on. I mean, that's the obvious reason.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm hearing 12 different reasons, which makes me think that there's not one reason. Every single person has a different reason for hating the Chiefs.
That makes all kinds of sense, McLovin. I mean, that all these different things, so everyone should love them because there's all the different reasons why everyone hates
them. Well, they're all thin.
Them.
I mean, the fact that there's so many, everybody hates the Chiefs for a different reason. I'm like, hey, Big Dave, you know the Cowboys really well. Why did people used to hate the Cowboys? I'm actually asking. I don't know the answer. Why did we hate the Cowboys?
I mean, there's a multitude of reasons because, to start with, they get all the media attention. You know, they were self-proclaimed America's team. There was the arrogance about the team, you know, with prime time and the playmaker and all those are a certain level of arrogance that they enjoyed tremendous success.
So we just hate any successful. That's my point, Dave. We hate any successful team. We'll find reasons. Is that what we're doing here?
It's not about that. Yeah, I mean, it's not about that. It's really not. I think that most people, the common fan, the common Joe Blow fan like me, I don't have anything personal against Kansas City. Mahomes is a generational quarterback, but it's cumulative. It's all these things is why people like me dislike them so much. I mean, it's not just and Travis Kelce is someone that I would just love to squarely punch right between the eyes. I mean, he is the most arrogant, you know, over the top. He's the one player. Mahomes, I love Mahomes. He's great. Travis Kelce is just, oh, my God. I got to throw something now. I got to hit something. I got to find something to kick. I mean, he's talking about the guy.
You jabroni!
Oh, man. Dave, I mean, tell us how you really feel. I hope you don't get into a back alley with Travis Kelce, Dave, because I don't want anything bad to go down.
Well, hey, listen, whatever happens, happens. But seriously,
Dave wants the smoke.
How about them Cowboys? You know, we're all idiots for actually thinking that they were going to do something that would move the needle in the right direction, like with Deion. As ridiculous as we thought that might be, how could we are such fools because this is the most Cowboy thing. I'm doing air quotes right now, by the way. The most ridiculous, mundane, vanilla thing. Would y'all agree?
No, Jerry said this is a huge risk, Dave, because you're hiring a guy no one else wanted.
Yeah, he may as well looked over at Brian Schottenheimer when he said that. It's like, hey, everybody's expecting you to fail, right? I mean, you know, you've not did anything so far in your career, right? So this is the biggest risk ever. Right, Brian? I mean, what a bunch of morons.
Dave, mic drop. Fantastic call. Jerry was he was on one yesterday. This was even sell mode, Pearl, that –
Yeah.
Jerry only really reaches back for the fastball every now and again.
Yeah.
He had it yesterday, really trying to sell the fan base that this is a risky move that Jerry went outside the box to hire literally his offensive coordinator.
Back to the Chiefs for 1 second. I can't now. I believe that any successful team is going to be hated. Doesn't matter if it's the Chiefs, the Steph Curry Warriors. They are very similar. Like, there's just never going to be a likable dynasty ever again.
Okay, Steph Curry Warriors, very, very different. I think they really started to become disliked when Kevin Durant joined the team. 73 wins, and then you add the biggest free agent. And by the way, you went to the Hamptons, you courted him. It turns out that Draymond Green had been texting with him all season long. That turned people off. People, that was a basketball reason, by the way.
People turned against Curry, too. They found him obnoxious.
I think people
turned chewing the mouth guard.
The mouth guard, the petty king, Aisha, night-night. I think that there was a little bit of backlash to Curry, too.
But here's my point. I think
it was short-lived, though.
I think any great franchise is going to have backlash because at the end of the day, all these things come down to visibility. And I think I'm not even trying to be controversial here. I think that every great dynasty from now on is going to be hated.
I think it's all different reasons, because I don't think the Patriots dynasty was because of overexposure, though.
But they were hated.
No, they were hated, but because they were winning, they were curmudgeonly about it, they were smug, they were cheating, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. It wasn't because Tom Brady was in every single commercial or Bill Belichick was. But they were far from that.
But this, you said smug. The common ingredient in that one would be arrogance.
Yep.
I think if you win too much, you're perceived as arrogant. I think it's a reality. And name a likable. The only one I can think of is the Jordan Bulls. I just can't think of a likable dynasty in a long. I mean, there aren't a lot of dynasties now because of salary cap rules, but I just think dynasties are going to be unlikable from now on. I think we resent winners.
What about the Niners?
The what?
80s Niners? They were I don't think anybody hated them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so.
Very few examples,
I'm saying now.
Saying,
now yeah, right, like. But that was before the Bulls.
Right.
Actually, I was telling Maggie, my recollection is the Steelers of the 70s were beloved and the Cowboys of the 70s were hated. They were the bad guys, maybe because I was in Philly, but the Cowboys would come out with the Darth Vader music and the Steelers were like this shining light. I think they were like the underdogs, and for some reason, everyone loved the Steelers. Like that, you know, there's Steelers fans everywhere because of Lynn Swann and Terry Bradshaw, but for some reason, the Cowboys were like the big evil Cowboys.
Yeah, and like Mejo Green, that's a place where I think commercials helped.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He had like an iconic commercial at a time when you have one commercial. Yeah. I don't know if he ever had a second one, just that Coca-Cola commercial was so influential.
But I think in today's society, I think it's going to be hard for a dynasty to be likable.
You know, we know a lot about these guys.
Yeah, like, you nailed it.
Like, if Brittany Mahomes doesn't have an Instagram account, maybe we like her. Or maybe you like her anyway. That's fine. I was just saying we, like as a, not you and me necessarily, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
why?
We know a lot about the circle. Would we ever know about Patrick Mahomes' brother? You know, from a police report, probably. But we might not have an Instagram feed, and we wouldn't feel like there's so much in our faces.
Definitely. One thing about Jordan's Bulls were likable because he was so spectacular. I kind of thought that maybe Mahomes would do that, but I don't think he is. Like, he's so, you know, guy throws left hand and no-look passes. He's just maybe not doing enough of that. Like, is that enough to make them likable?
I don't know. It's funny because I always thought Jordan, there's like a fetishization, I'm not sure how to say the word, about Jordan and how mean he was to his own teammates.
Yeah, I hear all that. But for me as a kid, I remember just like this human being can fly like he's a bird. It's a slam dunk contest that got me on board. I mean, that's why I love the Jordan Bulls, because I'm a big slam dunk contest guy.
Right.
And I think a lot of kids were like that.
I guess the point I was trying to make there is if Jordan was existing today, do we have this universal love for him? Like the stories about him punching teammates in the face like Steve Kerr and just kind of being awful to, like, you know, who is it? Not Scott Brooks.
Steve Kerr. I mean,
No. Anyway, just like him being like these rookie hazing type of things and all of that. Would that be received in a different way today? Today, it's like he's the ultimate winner, you know, and then Kobe Bryant emulated it as well.
Yeah, there was all that. But, I mean, if he had done, nobody does a dunk contest anymore. If, say, LeBron, if there was a guy who came up and won two dunk contests over Dominique Wilkins, like, I think we would appreciate it. If a guy was doing 360s in games, I think we would overlook some of that. I don't know. I think there are a lot of people just like talent. Like, but the one thing about Mahomes is he isn't playing like that anymore at all. Like, did you see him do a no-look pass or anything? Where was the trick plays? Now they just throw five-yard passes.
I think, Perloff, that's it. I really feel like one of the big things is Mahomes was very likable initially, and the Chiefs were likable because they were the greatest show on grass.
Slinging it,
They were throwing 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. We were seeing things we've never seen before. I think when you watch them play, they look like the Patriots.
Yeah.
They play the same way. They're going to grind you out. They're going to dink and dunk you up the field. It's not that appealing, really, to watch. Unless they're playing the Bills or the Bengals, these games aren't really all that entertaining or exciting.
You know what the worst thing is? The Bills are watching them and trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
The Bills and Maggie actually was one of the leading components. I was like, stop being exciting. Win some football games.
Well, stop being risky. More risk averse.
I know. But as a fan, you want to see risky. Throw that deep ball. Josh has got a cannon. Why isn't he throwing it deep?
To who?
Great point.
Fair.
He did throw it to Mac Hollins and Khalil Shakir and back of the end zone to Curtis Samuel. By the way, these are guys who any team in the NFL could have had.
Well, it is amazing. This is his best year. He threw for 700 less yards this year. Patrick Mahomes' stats are just bad now. I don't know what happened to him. It is interesting. I mean, Lamar Jackson is actually the only exciting guy left. And they can't
win. We
killed
him because he dared to have two turnovers in the first half
of the playoff. Patrick Mahomes played all the games. He had 3,900 pass yards, 26 touchdowns. That dude had 50 touchdowns and 4,800 yards coming out of bed. Anyway, there's just so many different reasons. I just am hearing too many different reasons. We got to have one. People have to decide, why do we hate the Chiefs, and stick with it.
I've got another question for you. What's going to happen over the next 2 weeks before we get to this game? Because as I said, Eagles not likable either.
Yeah, well, Saquon, I think, is likable. I think Saquon cuts through some of the Eagles' hatred. Am I crazy? He is a charming interview. Charming young man with big thighs.
Thick thighs, Saquon.
Wow, what a compliment.
Nobody dislikes Saquon. How could you dislike Saquon? I mean, maybe Giants fans, but even they, I don't think, dislike Saquon. The guy's like a pretty, he's like a 100 approval rating guy.
Yeah, but this is not about Barkley. It's about all the years pent up of anti-Philly. Like, one person alone
can't
unravel all of that. Like, I didn't like Philly, but I respect Brian Dawkins. It doesn't mean I'm all of a sudden going to be this big Eagles fan. Like, one singular player can't cut through the broader Philly, just whatever you guys are doing.
Yeah, no, it's hard to embrace the Eagles. Yeah, that's the thing with some of these Northeastern teams. They have such parochial fan bases. It's hard to get aboard. But Kansas City's in the middle of the country. I feel like everybody should join. Again, still a little mystified. They do seem to have so many likable ingredients, you know.
I don't think so. 855-212-4227.
Would you be happy if Patrick Mahomes came out and threw the ball 60 times on Super Bowl Sunday? Would you like them then? I would. That'd be amazing.
You'd like them. You'd start rooting for them to beat your team. That's how much of a bandwagon.
No. I mean, we get partial credit because Andy Reid gets the ring. So.
Yeah, sure. 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones, Chiefs, and how unlikable they are. If you'll permit me, coming up next, I heard the last thing that I wanted to hear from my Bills. And then we'll let the Bills die for a little bit, and they can go lick their wounds somewhere else. But I didn't want to hear this, and I heard it. I didn't like it. Dive into that next.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. Why do you hate the Chiefs? Everybody's got a different reason. It's like, I guess it's like the definition, Supreme Court definition of pornography. You know it when you see it. I just love the fact that
that's the one thing that the Chiefs don't have good. There's no porn scandals, as far as we know.
Everyone keeps saying, Perloff, isn't it obvious why everyone hates the Chiefs? Because of this reason. And it's a different reason every time. God, it's all of a sudden like they are the most evil team to ever step on the plate. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, this lovable little team from Kansas City. We were in Kansas City, Maggie. Those are excellent people. It's a wonderful town. And the funny thing is, too, like Big Dave hates Travis Kelce. Listen to New Heights. Travis Kelce is salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. He is one of the most, the funny thing is, he's so cocky. Like, as a person, he's like such a nice Cleveland guy. Like, for years, everyone liked Travis Kelce. And now he's up there. Yeah, he gets up and he's a pro wrestler, which he probably will be, by the way. I don't know. Whatever. It's very strange to me how everyone hates the Chiefs. But I'm down with it because I'm an Eagles fan.
You jabroni!
What did Big Dave say, though, the warden who called us earlier? What did he say about Kelce?
He wants to pull him into an alley and punch him.
He did say that, which I pray for Dave that never goes down.
Oh, I don't know. Dave sounds tough to me.
Former warden. But he said elitist. See, that's the thing.
That's so funny about Travis Kelce.
I think they are Cleveland guys, but not really anymore. I think now you're dating the most famous pop star on earth. She's all there up in the booth with all the other famous people. I mean, think about the Super Bowl last year. Who was it? It was like her and Blake Lively and Sexy Red. It's like it's Ryan. Who's she married to? Not Gosling.
Ryan Reynolds.
Thank you. Deadpool and Hugh Jackman. These are not relatable people. We might like them or you don't.
Okay. Now you're getting somewhere.
He's not relatable anymore, maybe.
But as a person in reality, Travis Kelce is certainly, he is as Cleveland as they come. Like, he's really in touch with his roots reality.
That's fine. But he also wanted this fame thing so badly.
Yeah.
And it felt kind of thirsty, to be frank.
He had this team around him who got him all these gigs.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people probably didn't read that Wall Street Journal article, But they understand, they're getting the gist of it, which is he's got a team behind him and he wants this fame thing more than anything. And I'm kind of curious now, like, now that you have it, is it everything it was cracked up to be? Basically, yeah. You're getting followed everywhere. You got the crazy Swifties. If you ever break up with Taylor, they're probably going to come for your head. So I don't know. It just feels a little manufactured.
But you hear him on New Heights, and you can't help but like the Kelces. I know there's a backlash because of visibility, but listen to the podcast. They're like, oh, yeah, I would hang with those guys. Why not?
Eric's in Boise. Eric, what's up?
Hey, so just making, you know, with the social media era, you know, the more that you know about people, the more you're going to like them or dislike them.
Yep.
And, you know, that's just the way it is. I mean, luckily we didn't get that with Jordan and the Bulls. We didn't have that. We didn't have with the 49ers or whomever before. We didn't have any of that, luckily. But, you know, when it comes to the Chiefs, you know, Jordan hit the game-winning shot. The Chiefs, they get the game-winning flag. That's why no one likes
them. Aww. That's not what happened in the Super Bowl last year. That's not 2 years ago.
Or the other team doesn't get the flag. One of the two.
Listen, I still have a pretty open wound right now about what happened in the AFC Championship game in that 4th-and-1 call. So I'm with you on calls, but I think we can't say that the refs hand it to them all the time. The James Bradbury holding, Perloff, even you thought that was not a bad call.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get your finger caught in a jersey because that's what the officials can see it. And everybody would have called that probably.
The Super Bowl last year, I mean, they won it in overtime. They went down. I don't remember a controversial call in that overtime, just Kyle Shanahan's controversial decisions.
Yeah, and the fact that they left a blocker, was a Kivitz on an island, that was a bad idea. Yeah, I understand what he's saying because the calls is an issue. I understand these things alone, but is that the Chiefs' fault that the officials helped them? You blame, I guess it is, but like they're not doing it. They're just like, would you not take calls if you were a player?
Well, you would, but people get really upset with Josh Allen because he begs for calls, and people don't like the Patrick Mahomes begs for calls.
Every great player ever, Tom Brady's begged for more calls. Nobody begged for, and in the NBA, you don't think Jordan was asking for calls left and right? He's probably having a nonstop dialogue with the officials to call every single thing. And guess what? He got every call times 1,000 because he was Michael Jordan.
Yeah, his most famous game winner is
That's a great debate for another day.
Andrew Bogish has headlines. Hey, folks.
Guys, as we discussed yesterday, us men have so much to do when it comes to weddings and childbirth.
Damn right.
But Maggie, you ladies are involved too. We know that. Tennessee women's basketball coach Kim Caldwell coached against No. 2 South Carolina yesterday, a week after having her son. 12,000 fans gave Caldwell a standing ovation when she took the court.
I definitely wasn't expecting it. I try to sneak in. That's why I sneak in the back. I always try to go unnoticed. But it made it worth it. It made coming back worth it.
Dawn Staley was impressed.
Women have the strength of 10 men. No doubt about it. She wanted to be here with her team. So, I mean, women have to make decisions like that. And when they do, I feel like other women should honor them. And let them know that we see you, we feel you, we hear you.
Staley in South Carolina got the win eventually, 70-63.
Your hands went immediately to your face.
I did.
Maggie.
Listen, this is feminism, right? She can make her own choices and she can do what she wants to do. And I commend her for doing that. I just know my own personal experience, there's a possibility you will regret that. It's possible. And then you live with your regrets. But feeling like you have to come back to work so soon is definitely a real thing that women feel. And, you know, I feel bad, but at the same time, she should be able to make that choice.
Even Dawn Staley said, I don't know that I could have been away from my newborns that early last night. It's a personal thing. And yeah. It's crazy. Like, I'm saying this not to be like, I was exhausted a week after and I did nothing. Like, I don't know how you would get yourself dressed as a new mom to go anywhere and stand on the sideline and yell at referees and players for 2.5 hours.
That was Andrew Bogish, not Andrew Perloff, saying that. That was Bogues.
Yeah, you guys are nuts. It's amazing.
No, I never tried to compare myself in the fatigue.
No, that wasn't yesterday. I think you said you were in tears.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, yeah. I heard Bo's like, I'm not comparing myself in any way. Then just stop there. That's where you should stop.
No, I didn't do anything, and it was taxing. Like, I've slept through things. My wife woke up all the time. Like, you guys, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you can do anything other than that.
Yeah, I mean, the choice is what women are fighting for, right? That's it. And so you got to respect when women want to make that choice. But I can speak from personal experience. There are regrets there when you feel like you have to go back to work so soon.
On a much lighter
note. That got
note.
Dark.
Some NBA games.
Yay, sports.
Feature
sports
only
is awesome.
One team trying. That's how we get Knicks 143, the Grizzlies 106.
Go Bockers.
But a few games are actually competitions, which gets us endings like this.
Another inbound for Van Vliet. To a man, Thompson. Down the lane. Euro step for the win. He got it with 7/10 of a second.
Craig Ackerman on Rockets Radio, Houston, winning 114-112 in Boston, courtesy of Amen Thompson, who appreciates the confidence of head coach Ime Udoka.
He just drew up the plan. I was like, oh, I'll take this.
Thompson scored 33. His Rockets have now won 9 of 11. Klay Thompson, 7 first quarter threes in the Mavs 130-108 decision over the Wizards. Anthony Davis had 42 points, 23 rebounds in the Lakers 112-107 win in Charlotte, and the Suns held off the Clippers 111-109. Men's college hoops, Cooper Flagg scored 28 in number 2 Duke 74-64 home win over NC State. Third-ranked Iowa State losing at Arizona 86-75 in overtime. They should have won in regulation, but Caleb Love hit a desperation 3 from the backcourt at the buzzer. And finally, before pitchers and catchers report to spring training next month, we got Game 7 of the Dominican Winter League Final last night. Leones del Escogido and Tigres del Licey tied at 5, top 9, Manny.
Líder en juego salvado de todos los tiempos. Duro por el center field. No, no, no.
Junior Caminero's tie-breaking 450-foot homer was so stunning, it made that guy speak in tongues.
Switch back to English.
He switched back to English.
Wait, Manny, is that like a... What do you think about that? Switching back to English.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. In the last game that I called, a Dominican basketball player, he had an and-one, and I started speaking in Spanish. It just came naturally to me.
I like that, though. That could be like your signature thing.
It only applies to a certain demographic. But, I mean, it was just absolutely... I thought this call was hysterical. Sounds like my mom trying to speak to me.
You said your mom kind of goes in between the Spanish and English.
Oh, it's exhausting trying to figure out what language she's trying to speak to me.
So, we have the call, and then the actual trip around the bases from this guy was roughly 3 minutes. There was like a dance party, pep rally up the first baseline. He came to a full stop at third base to hug his coach. And then did like the slow stomp down to home plate. And the game wasn't over.
I was going to say, this wasn't a walk-off.
Yeah. No, they won because of it, but it took about 7 minutes to actually have a home run.
This is how baseball should be played.
I agree.
This is fun. This is exciting.
You hit a home run in that scenario, even if it's not a walk-off, it's a top of the ninth. You get to do the moonwalk to first, cabbage patch to second, the Dougie to third, and cartwheels home.
Yeah. Aside from snapping your bat over your knee and stabbing the catcher with one of the shards, you can do whatever you want.
I don't know, man. I think we should leave the door open for anything. I don't
of course,
know why
you want violence.
I got a bloodlust that only comes out.
I haven't had a Filipowski run over by a fan in a while, so I need something.
I need to see something bloody. Yeah. I witnessed something bloody on Sunday. Carnage.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea. In the system. Can I get the pronunciations of those teams again, please, Bogey?
Yeah. Leones del Escogido and Tigres del Licey.
Muy bien, Andres. Muy bien.
Gracias. Okay, Manny, now you say it.
Leones del Escogido against los Tigres del Licey.
Sounds better with Manny saying it.
As it should.
Not surprising there.
Maybe next time if we're doing Dominican winter highlights, which I feel like we actually kind of missed the boat because Game 7 was yesterday.
Yeah, next year.
Maybe we just pause and like insert Manny for all the Latin names.
Well, don't you worry because the Charros de Jalisco, they have their Game 7 in the Mexican Winter League. Winner of that game, or hopefully the Charros de Jalisco, will go to the Caribbean Series, which is being held in Mexicali this year.
Why is everything going to game seven? Is this rigged?
Rigged.
This is
just parody, awesome. Baby.
Yeah.
Salary cap sport, that Dominican Winter League. They set it up that way.
Good revenue sharing in the Dominican League. Like, parody everywhere.
First time we'll have a Japanese team in the Caribbean League this year as well.
That's fire.
What, are you writing a blog on this stuff?
Maybe.
Wait. There's a Japanese team playing in the Caribbean League? This is like Stanford being in the ACC.
Yeah, they got a little invite. It reminds me a couple of years ago when there was a soccer tournament of North American teams going on over here, and they invited, like, Qatar.
I remember that.
Yeah, I wonder if any cash changed hands for that one.
That was a World Cup tie-in, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but did Qatar really need to play in the... Did they really need to play in the Gold Cup?
No, I think what it was like they didn't have a team and they didn't have to qualify because they were the host. So they were like looking for places to play to get ready for the World Cup. And I think we were being nice.
North America, yay!
That's what we're known for, being nice.
Yeah. That's the message we're sending out to the world. How's the Mexican Women's Hockey League going?
I don't think they have a league. I think it's just a conglomerate of Mexican descendant women who just kind of get together on a piece of ice in like Finland.
It's a rec league?
I would imagine.
Got uniforms?
I can't imagine anybody paying for a piece of ice in Mexico City.
I thought this was a real league. This sounds like New York City Quidditch.
No, they don't have a league.
Playing at Chelsea Piers?
No, they don't. It seems like it. They don't have a league. They just have a national team.
Okay.
Yeah. They just barnstorm all over the country.
Yeah, literally. I follow some of the players on Instagram, and like they'll be in Finland in 1 week, and then in Sweden the other week, and then in Puerto Vallarta the next.
Only some of the players. What's your selection
Which
process?
Which of those things
like?
Is not like the other?
They should do no an comment. Olympics where just countries that aren't used to playing in certain elements have to play in those elements.
Oh, like Jamaican bobsled team.
Yes. So yeah. Like Winter Olympics, but only Southern Hemisphere, tropical type.
Let me tell you something. There was this one guy in the Winter Olympics, the last Winter Olympics, who is like born in the Netherlands but has a Mexican passport. And he was a cross-country skier, and he finished in dead last. But you know what? Go him. I don't even remember what his name is. And I also do believe,
your hero.
I also do believe that he's like a multi-billionaire in Mexico as well.
And he just decided to take up cross-country skiing?
Literally, yes. He was like, I'm going to get a Mexican passport and do cross-country skiing.
Like, I want to find the best, Alaskan surfer. Like, put them in the surfing competition.
We've got two different ideas going on right here. We got EJ's idea for, the bizarro Olympics, where only people from warm weather climates can compete in winter.
Or just
in winter,
opposite.
Summer.
Yeah, I like it.
That's a million-dollar idea right there. And then Manny calling out billionaires for cutting corners, getting citizenship in countries they probably don't belong to, and competing in the Olympics.
I would love to see Jeff Bezos get a, Irani passport or something and just compete in downhill skiing or something.
You guys know we're still on the air, right? Is anyone aware of this? Like, this show is going out. I lost track of whatever was going on about 5 minutes. I feel like the old guy at the dinner table. Yeah. What the heck are you guys talking about? How did we get from Dominican baseball to what you just said?
Well, let's be honest. Perloff not paying attention to the show is pretty par for the course. Bogish is sitting in here, after all. That's when he tunes out. I think EJ's got a good idea. That could be pretty funny, like for the Ocho.
This is way better than that, like, steroid Olympics that they were trying to do.
Yes.
This is real fun.
Yeah.
If I had money, I'd give you some for that idea.
Thank you, sir. Let's give Bogus a bonus so I can get some bread. Start this thing.
You just got to hit up that Finland billionaire who's posing as a Mexican.
Dutch, but yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you say Dutch?
I think so.
Okay. Let's get to break. Reset. Perloff can go crawl into a hole. And we've got a dilemma for you, a sports dilemma that we need your help solving. It's Maggie and Perloff.
You're in a 5 minute break.
Thank you, everyone, for asking how I'm feeling today. Psych, nobody asked. You guys moved on very quickly. Not me, unfortunately. I still have to wallow.
Yeah, no, I guess we all assume that you were, you had a mechanism for this. You were used to this.
Yeah.
You have a process.
I do. I'm at the numbness, I think, is where I'm at. I was really convincing myself yesterday that this is not even on the Mount Rushmore of bad Bills losses.
Probably not, right? Real quick, I know we're running out of time. Top ahead, Mount Rushmore, Bills losses.
I thought about this a lot yesterday, actually. So, Scott Norwood, The wide right is without a doubt. That's the George Washington of the whole thing.
Of course.
I think you got to put the two more Super Bowl losses. I think you put the Washington loss up there as well. And I think you put the first Cowboys loss up there.
No, I'm not going to tell you which to put up there. But there's a bunch of games with nicknames.
Right. But you're right. But I started thinking about it. Music City Miracle, it's a wild card first round playoff game.
It's a pretty famous way to lose a football game.
You think? We're still talking about it 25 years later. So, yeah, no, I'm aware that it's famous. I think that, to be honest, and maybe this is a personal opinion, the loss to the Bengals at home was devastating. And now that was a really crazy year because the DeMar Hamlin situation had happened. There was a lot of really unfortunate weather things where the fan base got really affected. There was the horrible incident, the grocery store where people lost lives. I mean, just terrible stuff.
But you would have lost to the Chiefs in the next game anyway, so what's the difference?
Well, thanks, Pearl. But the being at home and losing to the Bengals in that way was really, really tough.
But
that
you
was tough. And the 13-seconds game. 13-seconds game has to be on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
so I don't think that this game really makes it on.
No. I'm speaking for you, but I'm sorry. But it's got to be Scott Norwood and 13 seconds. Those are the 13 seconds has to be, because the Super Bowl losses of the Washington team and Dallas teams, like, you got killed. That doesn't hurt like 13 seconds. I mean, that's an all-time loss.
Yeah, and it was the divisional round, so I think divisional round and beyond counts. You know what I'm saying? Like, wild card round just doesn't seem... Like, I don't know. You can't get that upset about wild card round, can you? That's what the Music City Miracle was.
It's just this idea of a victory being snatched away from you. Gosh, that's pretty good. But you're right. Actually, I don't even think it makes top six the way you describe it.
And so there's really just
last year's was tougher, wasn't it? Gabe Davis game.
No, that was 13 seconds.
Oh, Gabe Davis. Oh, sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. What was last year?
Last year was
the interception in the end zone.
The interception in the end zone, and then Tyler Bass missed a 48-yarder that would have tied the game.
Sorry.
Thank you. The home losses are terrible, but you know, last year's team also for the Bills was coasting on fumes. They had to win five games in a row just to make the playoffs. That team was exhausted.
Do you go into recovery mode? Like, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to change the trajectory of my team?
Many conversations yesterday.
Okay, so you're getting to work. That's good.
With the Bills brethren.
Yeah.
Talking about what they should do with their first round picks.
There you go.
Corner, wide receiver.
I like it. Moving ahead.
Solution based. But I was a little disappointed. Not that I expected anything differently, but the full throttle, full defense of Sean McDermott was kind of hard to hear because I get it. You go to the AFC Championship game, you're not firing your coach. You know, we're talking about Marty Schottenheimer and the legendary Marty Schottenheimer and his son Brian now taking over the Dallas Cowboys. Marty Schottenheimer won 14 games and got fired. And that made no sense at the time. He didn't deserve to be fired. And Sean McDermott's not going anywhere.
Well, the Eagles last year were terrible in defense, drafted Quinyon Mitchell in the 20s and Cooper DeJean in the second round. Get two quarterbacks. Draft two quarterbacks, Mag.
I mean, that's step one.
There's a lot of hard work ahead. You got to make some really smart draft picks.
And me.
You.
Better start grinding film.
Yeah. I hope you're down. Shrine Bowl, Senior Bowl, looking at safeties, cornerbacks. You got to get that coverage rate up.
Don't I know it. But again, I'm doing fine, everybody. So
I like that I'm so glad to hear that you're already looking ahead to how you're going to fix this. Don't wallow in the loss. It happened. Samaje Perine got the first down. It's over.
Thank you.
It's time to focus on next year.
Do we have to go through the details? It doesn't have to be the TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, one official said it was a first down.
One said
it wasn't.
Blasphemy.
The blitz came in from the right.
Allen didn't
see it in the first cadence.
That is true.
Which was kind of a cool line. I didn't even know that's how it worked. But
would you like to talk about the catcher interception? Cole Bishop, Xavier Worthy? You forgot about that one.
Well, it was going to be a first down anyway on a defensive holding. By the way, the Eagles are about to lose to the Chiefs. I feel like I don't have nearly as much on the line. I got my ring. We probably shouldn't even be at this point.
Just wait.
It's going to be heartbreaking. I was wondering about that. Is it going to hurt to lose this game to the Chiefs in dramatic fashion?
Yes.
You blamed the heat last time. Is it going to be, the gumbo this time in New Orleans?
I mean, I didn't think the Eagles were going to be here. I don't even think Nick Sirianni thought the Eagles were going to be here.
Does Nick Sirianni even know you are there? We always wonder about that guy. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Manny Rodriguez, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers. Catch you tomorrow.
Duval.